Hello everyone, welcome to today's session of Markets Monday. In case you're joining us for the first time, Markets Monday is a podcast where we talk about various markets issues that are probably likely to, move across a single trading day. For today, one of the things that we'll be looking at is the announcement from the Nairobi Securities Exchange, which they made a few weeks back that they were to begin day trading. And in case you're wondering what day trading is, day trading basically means your stocks, or if you buy a stock today, you'll be able to settle that within one, you'd be able to get your settlement for your stock within the same day. So we're looking more of a T plus one more than the T plus three that we've been seeing, but then with an opportunity where you'd be able to see your settlement emerge within the same trading cycle. One of the things that investors must be able to remember as we talk about day trading is that the day trading effect which we're seeing on the NSE for the settlement for funds will be able, the settlement of funds will take place 3 days after. So the settlement of funds still remains on T plus three, just in case you're wondering. Though the NSE has mentioned that they're working on various framework so that they can be able to ensure that your funds will be able to get your funds on T plus one. By a T plus one, this technically means on the trade date and then now the next settlement date. Because I know one of the things that a lot of investors are constantly worried about is if I'm buying my stock today or if I'm selling my stock today, will I be able to get my funds? That is for the sellers. And then the guys who are selling is that when will the funds be deducted from your account or from the broker's side? So that is one of the things that a lot of investors are definitely looking onto onboarding. It's interesting that even with that data, the activity on the NSE still remains a bit flat for today's session, with Equity Bank is still on the top mover, but still regardless, there is nothing really much to celebrate about because we're seeing most of the charges that the NSE is set to bring on board still technically remain the same. So brokers are yet to lower the commission charges. It would really be interesting to see which broker would be the first one to fall the hammer and just have the trading, the trading commission or the trading charges really brought in. But one of the things that the NSE is actually doing is a rebate which will be offered on trades of certain positions that are created on the same day, and this is only for the NSE levy. The CMA levy, there is no rebate which is being applied onto that, and also we're also seeing as well that the CDSC levy, there is also none of that. In case you're wondering how have these levies been charged on the NSE, the NSE has always had a levy of 0.12% on all transactions. If you do a day trade, that means you buy and sell within the same day. Then one of the things that we'll technically be looking at is a 5% rebate on the NSE levy. So effectively, you'll be able to see the charge on your transaction levy for the NSE. The NSE levy will be at 0.114%, which I still really feel, as much as it's something that comes in from the exchange, it would be a good gesture, but still we're seeing none of it. It's still probably just that quite pretty much low. They should have brought this down by a much higher percentage, but also the main challenge would really be for brokerage for brokers to bring down their charges, because an example is if you're looking at the market, how the market is trading right now, you're seeing it's only Housing Finance, that is HF Group PLC, which is up about 5%. So if you're looking at the day trading, if you were to buy and get a good margin within the same day, you might probably want to be looking at Housing Finance, because it's the only stock that is technically above 5%, and so still pretty much lower. Onto this, we'll be able to just watch and see how this will be able to change the activity on the exchange. In case you're wondering what's happening with Housing Finance, earlier today there was the news that Housing Finance has appointed Peter Oduori as the managing director, and that is effective from last week on Friday. So this is news that is reaching us last week on Wednesday, actually. He took charge for at HF, but that news is coming in late today, this morning, and so he's now effectively the managing director of the bank. I think every moment whenever we see opportunities, mostly for counters that have, I look at Housing Finance as a company that really brings in a bit of volatility. At least over the past few weeks, we've seen two instances. The first one was an issue about Housing Finance having a possible stake, a possible buyout, where we're seeing Britam looking for somebody to buy in the stake on HF, but still we're seeing that also as another opportunity as well, that we're looking at this. And now we're seeing another spike, but this is because of a corporate action, which is backed by the appointment or the managing director. And so that's one thing that's coming in into place. And we'll just be able to see how that pans out for Housing Finance. Becomes in a little bit interesting, and that's technically one thing we'll definitely be watching on during today's session as we move through with this. So that's one thing that we're looking at. Another thing that we'll definitely looking at is how the markets performed last week. And so one of the things that I know we are all possibly wondering is just how the markets were last week. Last week, it was a very interesting bit for markets. The first thing, for the local space, we saw the market index remain pretty much on the red. This was fueled by the decline of the declining prices generally across board, and also more of a low level activity. If you're looking at this from how stocks were, compared this to a week earlier. One of the things that I know we were constantly looking at was the performance of the benchmark index. That's the benchmark index of the Nairobi Securities Exchange, NASI. In this case, we saw that NASI was down a bit and closed the week at an average of about 168.48 basis points. And this is technically where we're seeing more in terms of activity from the exchange. And this is much of a concern. I believe for you as an investor, you know, one of the things that you always have to look at is, if you're looking at how the markets are performing, then you might want to be concerned on how the all share index is performing, because the all share index literally tells you the overall mood of the market. Another index that was also down week on week, we saw the NSE 25 share index, which was down about 50 basis points. So we're seeing the NSE 25 share index down about 1.3% to close the week at 3,732.47 points. And then finally, we're seeing the price sensitive NSE 20 share index was down as well, 1.4% to about 1,893.65 basis points. The main reason why we're seeing a bit of a decline in most of these counters is because the companies most likely, let's talk about Safaricom, for example, which is a major component on all these indices. Last week, Safaricom was down about 2.3% and closed the week at 39 shillings and 25 cents. That is down from 40 shillings and 20 cents, where Safaricom had closed that a week earlier. One of the reasons that this really, really pans out as a very interesting bit is, you know, if you're looking at Safaricom as a stock, then you really need to know the exposure that it has on the exchange. And I know that's one thing that we've constantly been talking about. And in case you're wondering where you can also get previous podcasts, we definitely go to HISA and you'll be able to get them on the podcast section. We've always talked about the various exposure that Safaricom is probably putting on the market. And this is regardless, because we're seeing other large caps like KCB, for instance, which were up about 3% after the company declared a dividend. That was something as well. I know a lot of shareholders were really, really hoping for a dividend, but we've seen KCB and Standard Chartered really coming in as the first banks to propose a dividend. A lot of us were also hoping for Equity to do that, but for Equity, we might want to wait for the full year and just see what Mwangi has up his sleeves. That would be definitely something I personally would be looking at and just figuring out how it would be. In terms of total market activity for last week, we had the NSE, the market turnover was up about 849 million. And so, sorry, not to 849 million, just to get my figures right. The market turnover for the week was up at 2.5 billion. That's with a volume of about 70.8 million shares. And this was lower compared to the 3.5 billion shares worth of shares that were traded on the Nairobi Securities Exchange a week earlier. So we're still seeing a lot in terms of, if you're looking at the market cap, if you're looking at the activity, the overall market activity for last week, yes, on the Nairobi Securities Exchange was definitely on the downturn. And that's one thing that I know we're all going to be looking at. I know a lot of concerns have also been just surrounding the top stocks, and giving you guys a bit of data that's coming in right now. Safaricom has extended the decline in today's trading session. We're about 45 minutes into trading. The NSE opens trading at 9:30. It's 10:15. and Safcom is down about 0.89%. Safaricom is currently trading at 38 shillings and 90 cents. We were talking about this with somebody, and he mentioned that a few weeks ago, AIB Access had actually released a report where they were valuing Safaricom to go all the way down to 38 shillings and 35 cents. We'll be able to watch on to that if Safaricom will really, really touch on 38, 35. And looks like for those guys who heated onto this, if you sold, it might also be a good opportunity. You know, one of the things that investors always do on the market is whenever there's an opportunity to sell, you sell high and you buy low. Literally, we've always talked about this as the basics of investing has always been on buy low, sell high. So guys are now selling high. Guys who sold Safaricom as high as about 42, 43, you know, now it's an opportunity for them to buy back more because they've literally checked out the investments. And that's a trick that guys can always use whenever they're investing. It's a bit interesting for guys, and that's one thing we'll technically be looking at as well. And we'll tell you how it goes. If Safaricom would hit onto this, I know this is a discussion we definitely want to have on the HISA app. On the decliners, to give you guys how the markets are performing at this time, we are seeing HF still on the lead with about 5.31%. HF Group is now trading at 5 shillings and 16 cents, followed by Femtree, which is up 4.58%. And then finally, we have Kenya Power as the top three. On the loser side, we have Sasini, which has just come in as well. And unexpectedly, the Nairobi Securities Exchange, that NSE group, the shares for the company are trading currently lower, about 2.6%. Earlier on today, I know we were looking onto the demand and the supply for NSE, which was pretty high. And to give you guys just how that is performing, NSE is down about 2.64% and currently trading at 8 shillings and 10 cents. I don't know about you guys, but if the day trading bit would really pick up for NSE, we're seeing a lot of revenues in terms of brokerage commission, in terms of levies, fees, and also activity, because one of the things that you have to understand is NSE literally makes its money from the listing fees and also from the levies that they charge per transaction. So when we see the value of the transactions go up, then we're literally going to see the earnings as well for the company improve. And that's one thing that I know, that's a basic analysis you must have up your sleeves if you're looking onto NSE. To give you guys more of this, the demand on NSE is just about 54,100 shares in total, and the supply is massive, about 158,000. That's close to thrice as much as the demand in what we're seeing here. And we're seeing most of these supplies really at a trade of about 142,000, which we're technically looking at about 8 shillings and 60 cents. Not to weigh down your hopes, the decline on the price for NSE is by just a small marginal volume of about 200 shares, which were traded about 20 minutes ago, actually, at 8 shillings and 10 cents. So don't lose hope on that. I know we'll be looking at NSE the whole day, just trying to figure out onto the effects. And also just over the next few weeks, we'll just be watching onto this and seeing the volumes, if there'll be anything to, you know, look onto this. I know that's one thing we're all going to be looking at the end of this session. One of the things that the NSE might want to bring in, and which I know a lot of investors are also looking at, is the shorting process, because we're all literally waiting for the NSE to give us an opportunity where we can be able to short the market. An example is, if you wanted to short Safaricom today, or if you wanted to short NSE, I personally would have gone short on NSE early in the morning today, if that was an opportunity to short the market. I think one of the things that, because it would be interesting, in case you're wondering what shorting is, that is when you're literally forecasting that the price of the stock would probably go down. And just to also give you guys something, and one of the reasons we always say the market is a bit dynamic. Remember earlier on, Housing Finance was leading. Sadly, HF Group is now down about 7% on the exchange. And so literally just gives you how the market will always remain a bit dynamic, because a few minutes ago, HF Group was on the top leader. Now it's down 7%. With a volume, the volume is pretty low though. We're seeing trades of just about, about 11,000 shares, which are traded on the exchange. And literally that's one thing we'll also be watching at. Remember, HF Group has today appointed, they've made public the information that they've appointed Peter. His name is Peter Mugeni Odwori as the managing director for the company. And so that was literally it. There wasn't really nothing much for the local space. On the global market space, oh, not to forget, guys, to give you guys a bit of how most of these companies performed last week, most of the companies that released their results. We talked about KCB earlier on, coming in to give investors their earnings. KCB had a bit of, I think, a positive earning, unlike what Cooperative Bank had posted. The net earnings for the group were up about 131% to 25.2 billion. So we're looking at this in terms of a positive turn, because we've seen KCB posting almost levels of, this is the best earnings that KCB has posted during, since the, over the past 20 months, since the COVID pandemic hit the local market. And so this is more of an interesting bit for guys who are looking on to buying into KCB. The balance sheet for the company was up about 15% to 1.12 trillion. And this is backed by the various acquisitions that KCB has been doing, looking at Rwanda, for example. A lot of guys, myself included, have been wondering when KCB will be jumping into DRC, which is an interesting market. We're seeing equity already making big moves onto that space. And we've always known Simba and Memba to be going head to head. So we'll technically be watching if KCB would be planning to move into that market. The non-funded income was up about 10%. The loan loss provisions for the group was up as well, were down 53% to 9.3 billion. The gross non-performing loans for KCB were up about 1.19%. But also the good things that we also have to watch as we look at KCB was the performance for National Bank of Kenya, which I literally believe that KCB has done a lot in terms of, you know, giving NBK good turns. That's one thing we'll technically be watching over as well. In case you're wondering why KCB was up last week, 3.15%, KCB announced a dividend of 1 shilling per share. This is one thing literally investors were really waiting for. You know, it's been so long. Over the past 2 years, we've seen very few companies jump back to give shareholders returns. And so this will just be an interesting opportunity as well to have guys move into. Cooperative Bank also released their financials that week. Coop Bank had pretty much of a marginal growth compared to its peers. Coop Bank was up about 18.9%. That's the profit after tax, the net earnings, to 11.6 billion. The bank's assets were up as well, about 16%, to about 592.9 billion. The NFI for Coop Bank was up as well, 16% to about 15.7 billion. The gross non-performing loans for Cooperative Bank was also up about 23% to 49.5 billion. One of the things that we were looking at when we're looking at Coop Bank, I know a lot of guys were looking on to most investors, and personally me included, I know we're looking on to the dividend bit. Cooperative Bank hasn't really paid any interim dividend, but I know for the final dividend this year, Coop Bank was one of the very few banks who issued a final dividend, and that is for the financial year 2020. And we're hoping that the full year 2021 will also be looking for another positive returns on Cooperative Bank as a stock. So that was literally it. There are a lot of other companies that we're still waiting for to come and give us more returns during the week. And just before we close onto the local markets, to give you guys more in terms of market dynamics. A few minutes ago, housing finance was down about 7%. It's now up again on the green again, about 2.51%. So if you're making on that day trading bit, the guy who bought HFCK when it was down all the way 7%, it wouldn't be bad now to look onto an opportunity if you can sell. You know, it would literally be something, a good thing. And if it goes up to a high of about 5 shillings and 20 cents, why not kill it? Be the first person to perform the day trades on the NSE. That would be an interesting bit for you. And that's technically something that we'll be looking at as well. To give you guys a bit of other intel on just how the global space was performing last week, we had, I think global markets were pretty much mixed. And one of the things that we were looking at on global markets, we were looking onto Alibaba. Alibaba, one of the largest e-commerce companies globally, released very delayed earnings. And one of the reasons why we're looking at Alibaba is because there's been a lot in terms of, there's been a lot of supply chain issues within the global finance system. And this started off and hit onto major companies. We saw about 2 months ago, we're looking onto Snapchat, we're looking onto Facebook, and these companies, and even retailers like Walmart, Costco, they all came in and gave, they had a downward review of their earnings because they were looking at the hit that they would possibly get onto the retail chain, the effect of the supply chain industry. And that's literally one thing that I know we were all looking at. Well, in case you're wondering, Alibaba did miss analyst expectations. The estimates that a lot of guys had put onto it, various analyst polls are usually conducted on either Bloomberg or Reuters, you know, and that's just one thing that guys would always be able to look at. The sales were up. So despite the sales being up about 29%, this was lower to about $31 billion. The sales were up 29% to $31.1 billion, but this was below the analyst estimates of about $32.1 billion. The annual effective consumers for Alibaba was about 1.24 billion. So that's about 1.24 billion guys using Alibaba services. And I'm just wondering, what if we would have close to half the population using these services, you know? And this would be something we might want to compare just looking at Alibaba and also looking at the other, you know, global competitors, looking at Amazon, for example. That would be something we might want to look at. Also, to give you guys another thing, adjusted EBITDA for Alibaba was down 32% year on year to $4.35 billion. The cloud computing revenue for Alibaba, and it's also interesting that if you're looking at Alibaba's cloud computing revenue, then one of the things that we also would want to look at is, it's not only on Alibaba, but across board. We saw the other day when Microsoft came in and said the cloud computing was actually on the positive edge. We also saw Amazon announce that. And remember, one of the things that we actually mentioned was, can you imagine if we didn't have the cloud computing revenue on Amazon Web Service, Amazon would have posted a loss for the quarter when they were announcing their results. So for Alibaba, the cloud computing revenue was up about 33% to about 3.1 billion. And so the diluted earnings per ADS. So in case you're wondering what ADS are, these are just American depository shares. So these are the shares that are traded on the US exchange. That is on the New York Stock Exchange. Remember, Alibaba is listed both in China and also in New York. So whenever you're talking about ADS, we're looking at what's really happening with Alibaba from a point of the American depository shares. So in this case, we're seeing Alibaba's shares have really been down. The ADS shares for Alibaba have been down. I think Alibaba has been down to about 23%. And this is one thing that I know a lot of guys are really concerned about. Alibaba's shares were down last week about 16%. Week on week. And so that's literally one concern that guys are having. Actually, if you look at it in terms of year to date, Alibaba's shares are actually not 23%, but 38.41%. This is a bit of a concern. Remember, Alibaba's major concern have always been when you're looking at the competition, not only from Amazon's point of view, but also the bit that we've seen a lot of guys have a bit of an effect in. And that's literally one thing that I know will technically be considering to just give you guys as well. To give you guys on the competition, how Amazon has been. Yes, Amazon was down last week as well. But if you're looking at it in terms of year-to-date performance, Amazon shares are up about 15.37%. This is in line with the S&P 500 shares index, which has currently given investors returns of about 24% year-to-date. And so that's one thing that I know a lot of investors are also going to be looking at. To give you guys finally how the benchmark indices within global markets performed, I know that's literally one thing that guys would always want to know. How did the S&P 500 perform? How did the Nasdaq and also the Dow Jones close the week? So the Dow was down about 1.4% to close the week at 35,601.98. The S&P 500 was up 0.3% to end the week at 4697.96 basis points. And we saw the Nasdaq composite as well, up as well, about 1.2%. So we're still seeing most of the tech stocks really rallying, mostly towards the end of the week after we saw Austria announce that they were going into a lockdown. Actually, Austria's lockdown is effective today, so starting Monday, because of the various the growing numbers of COVID, and this is going to affect almost a lot of other countries in Europe. And remember, if you're looking at this, how most of these companies have been performing over the past 2 years since the pandemic began, we're seeing tech companies have really, really grown. Companies like Zoom, for example, Zoom Telecommunications, where Zoom has been up. I think there's a time when Zoom was actually up about 200%. Let me just give you guys the numbers and just how it is. Zoom Videos Communication Inc. has been up over the past, if you're looking at it in terms of year to date, it's been on the decline. But if you look at Zoom from mid 2020, Zoom jumped all the way from lows of about $67 all the way up to highs of about $559 as at mid last year. And then it started coming in down with the announcement of the vaccine, because a lot of guys were depending on these communications just to do working from home and everything else to guys to generally keep in touch. And now we're seeing this stocks really looking much more on the positive edge, because guys are looking with lockdowns really jumping in back, then we're likely to see a lot of activities jumping, and we're just literally going to see a growth in most of these tech stocks. So last week we had tech companies really jumping up, but also was just on the jump for the EV companies. Remember EV companies that we talked about earlier last week, Rivian Motors, Lucid, Tesla. We were seeing most of them really also as well on the jump, despite having a bit of a massive dump towards the end of the week, as guys were probably looking onto a pump and dump strategy on the market. So one of the things that we'll technically be looking at for Zoom, because I know we've talked about this, is Zoom will be releasing its results later today. And we'll just be looking onto the various performance and the projections, the earnings estimates that the company will be providing, and a few guidance notes. And then we'll be able to have a discussion surrounding this again on the HISA app. So literally that was much for it on how most of these markets were performing. In case you're wondering, earlier today, oil prices were down after Japan announced that they were considering getting their commodities, oil from the strategic reserve. And it would just be interesting to see how this would pan out for investors. So literally that's it for us. I don't know how about you. If you have anything you're watching, be sure to let us know on the HISA app. So go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, download HISA, and just let us know what you think about the market. What stocks are you looking at? And finally, one of the things I'd really, really be hoping to hear from you guys is the overall performance or the general liquidity that we are going to be looking at on this market. I'm just interested in what you're looking at. Do you think the liquidity would improve? Because remember, if most of the guys are looking at long-term holding, if you don't have a short-term strategy, then the liquidity on the market would still fairly play out flat, despite having the day trading jumping onto the exchange. I'd really, really love to know your thoughts, and please just go to HISA, share that with me, and I'll be able to just sample some of these, and we can have a discussion with them again next week on Monday. Thank you guys for joining in today. See you guys again next week. Stay safe. Bye-bye.